Thank you for being on this journey with me. As an educator, it is not only natural for me to use this final episode to recap what we've learned in previous episodes, highlighting the most important takeaways I hope that you carry with you. But I also aim to place the experience of people participating in the economy today in context and emphasize why financial education is so critical in this moment. Episodes 1 through 3 were recorded at the end of 2024. We decided to re-record episode 4 during the editing and production process to meet the moment. Let's get into it for the final time. First, I will recap what we've learned throughout this podcast, and then I will touch on the pervasive need for reimagined approaches to cultivate and advance financial education. In episode 1, we learned about my complex history with financial literacy. We dug into the embedded legacies of oppression that are often missing from discussions of our nation's long history with financial literacy and from the narratives we use to celebrate financial literacy. The question I left you all with and implore you to continue to explore is, since we know the importance of financial education, how do we get it to a place where it can be used to manage financial trauma and navigate our economic system? Especially today, when leading up to the election, and currently the vast majority of Americans are feeling deep concern about the socioeconomic experiences that they're having, many are experiencing what they would call anxiety. According to a Gallup article that was released in October of 2024, the economy ranked as the most important of 22 issues that U.S. voters said would influence their choice for president. It was the only issue on which a majority of voters, 52%, said that the candidate's positions on it were an extremely important influence on their vote. And the current 52% of voters rating the economy as an extremely important influence on their vote is the highest we've seen since October 2008 during the Great Recession, when 55% of voters said the same. My hope is that you remember history, the whole story, and why that matters when we consider people's financial and socioeconomic experiences. In episode 2, I was joined by the wonderful Dr. Michelle Samuels-Jones for a rich discussion about the importance of equity in financial education and why taking an ecosystems-based approach that places individuals' identities in context is so vital.
Me feeling that this is not just for my material, for lack of a better term, well-being, but this is for my holistic well-being. We can't segment ourselves in that way, particularly when we're talking about communities of color and really thinking about any group that we're trying to serve. If my educational platform is to advance you, that means all of you. That means holistically you. And so how do we build paradigms and approaches and frameworks and all the things that help us see the person?
She helped us understand that equity in financial education means that every single person across the myriad of identity factors and intersectionality, identities, histories, contexts, environments, what have you, has a fair and just opportunity to acquire financial information, insights, and knowledge to gain the behaviors, skills, and capabilities to thrive within the financial ecosystem. The word ecosystem was frequently referenced throughout the podcast, as you can tell by now, and is central to the financial education discussion. It is central because there is evidence that shows when you take an ecosystems-based approach and center the context of those you're serving, no matter the content, it becomes empowering and equipping them in a very different way because it connects how you live, how you think, and who you are. Simply put, and to use the words of my beloved friend Michelle, this approach works. And if nothing else, I hope that you take away the simple fact that we must prioritize identity-conscious and learner-centered financial education because it works. In episode 3, I was joined by my new besties, Josh and Michael, as they explained the importance of considering financial trauma in financial education. We know that traumatic, long-standing negative experiences within the economy and financial institutions at the individual, household, and community levels fundamentally break the relationship between people's individual choices, their behaviors, and their ability to achieve financial security, and in my case, using my conceptual definition, material safety. We must take seriously the influence of those traumatic experiences.
I mean, one of the possible visions of financial education is to think about it as creating a vision of people as financial citizens, or what it means to create an understanding of financial citizenship, where financial education can play a really important role in building a foundation for people to advocate for themselves and for their communities for the value of their time, the value of their emotional and cognitive energy, the financial security of their families. And I think this is a really powerful vision of financial education, that there's more space and more room to continue to advocate for that.
While financial education alone may not be able to fully address the trauma individuals and their communities experience when participating in the economy, financial education has the capacity and the power to improve people's lives. Michael and Josh also helped me break down why it is that when our system operates as it was architected and intended, there becomes a cycle of dependency. In the financial trauma that individuals and communities experience, especially marginalized individuals and communities, it becomes self-perpetuating. This was apparent in my research with Black women in St. Paul, Minnesota. One of the key themes that emerged was the intense desire to break free from this cycle. Financial trauma is self-perpetuating, especially in marginalized communities. And in these spaces, people feel the consequences of negative choices in a much greater way than others. And the resulting anxiety from such negative choices comes with psychological, mental, and emotional trauma. And the cycle continues.
This happens with financial trauma, where people say, I've had enough, where I've hit the hot stove, if you will, with my hand. And I just can't. I can't keep doing this to myself. It's important to acknowledge that so that we understand and can meet people where they're at, and then help them, if they're ready and willing, to find out ways to re-engage in ways that are very healthy for them. And I think that's what it's all about. Simultaneously, we also need to be advocating for change at the policy level.
And that brings us to episode 4, where we are right now. The recent election and ongoing discussions in the media continue to illustrate the widespread concerns and anxiety over the state of the economy. This moment reveals that people desire and need access to financial education approaches that can drive unprecedented gains in access, quality, and impact across the financial ecosystem. Financial education is a powerful tool and one of many that can be leveraged in this moment and into the future. Our goal is to make sure that those who are positioned to respond to this need, whether that be practitioners or institutions, even individuals, frankly, anyone interested in financial education, can take what they learned from this podcast and use this information. There is no single solution. Our collective efforts to center equitable and inclusive approaches throughout all aspects of our work will be pivotal in advancing financial well-being for our most marginalized populations. The next wave of financial education must center on individuals' identities and interweave cultural understanding. It must provide access to economic opportunities and pathways to reliable sources of income to manage, balance, and invest so that people can actively benefit from the focus of financial education and participate in the economy without harm. And most importantly, it shouldn't obscure the systemic issues that create institutional barriers and unfairly burden marginalized groups to navigate obstacles with limited resources. Again, it is a powerful tool that can be helpful, but it also demonstrates why broader systemic changes are ultimately needed. So what is our call to action? Well, number one, first and foremost, place financial trauma in context as one of the largest influences on a person's wealth-building capability. Second, take an ecosystems-based approach that centers cultural fluency and identity because we know it works. Three, acknowledge the way the system was designed, and weave the legacies of oppression into our narrative around financial trauma so that we can break the cycle of dependency and eradicate pervasive financial shame and distrust. And lastly, perhaps more importantly, we must listen. We must listen to the people participating in the economy to learn from their experiences before taking action. Well, that's all, folks. That's all for Silence is Violence, Stories of Financial Trauma. That may be all for this podcast, but that's certainly not the end of this story. In this podcast, we said the silent part out loud, breaking the silence around financial trauma. I hope you now feel more equipped and hopeful to reimagine the system we operate within and rethink financial education to collectively advance financial and wealth justice. Thank you so much for being with me on this journey to uncover the complex layers of financial trauma and consider how each of us can be catalysts for change.
Silence is Violence, Stories of Financial Education is produced by the National Endowment for Financial Education, a 501c3 nonprofit that is the independent, centralizing voice providing leadership, research, and collaboration to advance financial education and financial well-being. The opinions and statements made on this podcast are those of the podcast participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of NEFI or constitute statements supported by NEFI. Links to our event summaries and any other documents discussed in this session are available in the show notes. For more information, visit www.nefi.org.